What do you call two guys that were there when this happened?
Back to return at Spurlock. Michael Spurlock at the 10. He's to the 20. He's to the 25. Spurlock 30 to the 40-yard line. We could see history. 50, 40 to the 30-yard line. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. There you go.
And that.
Shotgun set. Three receivers left. Here's the snap, and the blitzer is picked up. Brady underneath. Caught ball. Evans. He has the record at the 11-yard line. Mike Evans becomes the first NFL player in league history to record 1,000 yards or more in his first seven seasons and want to throw by Brady. Congratulations, Mike Evans.
Who can forget?
Gannon looking, Gannon throws up the middle. That's intercepted at the 30. Derrick Brooks, 30. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Derrick Brooks, the most valuable player in the National Football League. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Here's the snap. Mahomes running to his right. Look out. He may run. Mahomes directly. Oh, throw the end down. Battle. Intercepted. Picked off at the end zone. Bucks are going to beat the Chiefs. We're the champions of the world, and we still have a minute 33 to go. Devin White, what a great second season. That's it for KC. Bucks are the Super Bowl champs. They can't stop the clock.
We call them the Salty Dogs.
Welcome, everybody, to the Salty Dogs podcast. I am Scott Smith.
And I'm Jeff Ryan.
It's a veritable bonanza of Salty Dogs this offseason.
Jeez, you know,
right?
I got to rework.
We're giving the fans more than they could ask for.
I got to rework the contract. I don't think I think I'm over the amount of shows I said I would do.
You got that Salty Dog merch
yeah.
on the way yet, Jeff?
Oh, sure. That's the next thing coming.
Well, we did this because, you know, last time we did it was because of what? Tom Brady retirement?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It was because we had Rondé Barber.
Oh, Rondé Barber, right. How soon I forget.
Yeah. You got
Rondé
it in
Barber
your,
into the Hall of Fame.
You got it in your ears? Are you good?
Yeah, I can hear good.
No. Okay.
Okay, right. So you didn't have to reveal that. I was doing it all with
hand
motions.
I know, but you know.
You peeled back the curtain.
You know how we are. Jeez.
Now we are back again for a special episode because we had an opportunity to talk with Baker Mayfield. We're going to do that next after we kind of power through the news. There's been a lot of news. It actually works out quite well about a week into free agency to be doing this.
Yeah, and I don't know. If at the end of the season, if I would have thought our offseason where it is now it would go as well as it did, I wouldn't have been so worried.
We'd be high-fiving right now,
yeah,
wouldn't we?
I mean, I really, truly, the front office of the Buccaneers have
killing it.
You know, I don't think people realize what they've done.
Two things. First of all, the day after, if you looked at the salary cap, the day after the Super Bowl, which is not when the new league year begins,
no.
But it's kind of when everybody turns their attention.
Yeah.
And you see that at that point, the Buccaneers, according to SpotTrack, were scheduled to be $57 million over the 2023 cap. Now, you can't be over the cap. You're not allowed to be. But that meant the Buccaneers had to find a way to trim $57 million, some of which was dead money, like $35 million to Tom Brady.
Right.
That's a cap hit, not actual money.
And they weren't really sure because whether he retired or not.
Yeah. Well, once he retired, the Buccaneers had the option, if Tom Brady was willing to sign a kind of a dummy one-year contract, to make him a post-June 1 retirement. That's when he comes off the books. And then you would have taken about $11 million hit this year and another $24 next year.
Right.
So the Buccaneers clearly have chosen to take their medicine right now.
It's called rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, take the full 35 now, and it won't hurt us at all next year. And so when that happens, I just assume, okay, they're ripping this down to the studs.
Yep.
You know, they're going to take all their medicine right now.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye everybody on our free agent list. They're just not going to do it. And they absolutely 100% have not taken that route, Jeff.
No.
They have not taken that route.
Well, they said they weren't rebuilding. I think Jason Light said they were reloading.
Yeah,
and it certainly appears that way.
Jason Light has been absolutely true to his word, but I can tell you, everybody, you and I both know, and everybody listening knows that sometimes a GM or a head coach goes up to the podium and says, no, we're not rebuilding. They never like to use the word rebuild.
No.
We are trying to win every year. We're trying to win this year. But you know in the back of their mind, they know that this is the year they're taking their lumps. It's going to be, if they win, it'll be surprising because they're not making the moves to make themselves better.
Yeah.
But the Bucs have been. I could not have predicted it going this way.
No, and it really has gone well. And yes, some of the guys that we liked are no longer here. You know,
the losses haven't been too bad.
No.
Nacho went to the Giants.
Nacho went to the Giants.
Mike Edwards to the Chiefs.
Yes.
And I think, we don't know yet, but I think Sean Bunting
was going
to sign with the Titans.
He went with the Titans.
I mean, you knew you were going to lose some people.
Yeah, we lost Donovan Smith.
We
let him go, which would be
that was a cap
thing.
Same thing with Leonard Fournette and Cam Brate.
So, we we wish those three the best, absolutely, no matter what they want to go do. Or
yeah,
if, and you know, if they decide to retire, Cam and
as everybody,
Donnie have a chance to retire. They've been around a while.
As everybody who's listened to our podcast before knows, we tend to go off on tangents. So let's go off on that one.
All right.
And get back to this, how the Bucks agency have gone. No, I got it in my notes here, and I don't want to just burn past it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Buccaneers have released, so far, there could be more to come, I don't know, right, but so far, as of March 20th, left tackle Donovan Smith,
yep,
who started the last 8 years almost without fail, missed like 6 games in that whole span, played almost every snap in those games,
which is remarkable.
And at left tackle, which is one of the most important positions on the field, Cameron Brate, tied in for us for about 9 years,
yeah,
and Leonard Fournette. So before we move on, knowing that those moves had to happen, that there are difficult decisions that have to be made, that maybe Donovan Smith's last year wasn't his best,
mm,
maybe Cam Brate feels like he's coming to the end of the rope of,
sure,
a very long and successful rope.
Yep.
And Leonard Fournette, I'm sure, will be looking to find another.
He'll be good.
But he,
yeah,
had 3 good years here. Let's take a moment to thank these guys and run down the things they did, because these were good Buccaneers.
And how important were they for the Super Bowl run?
Every single one of those guys was critical. I mean, especially, I don't know how much action Cam got, how many catches he had in the...
Cam saved the Lombardi Trophy out of the
Thoreau,
right, River. So
he made the biggest
no
catch
matter
of the
what,
year.
And he, as of now, has the last touchdown catch of Tom Brady.
Oh, nice.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to be.
How about that?
You're going to be a trivia question
you
for
You are
decades.
A trivia question. There's no question.
Yeah. So Cam is one of the people's, like... Don't come back, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
A lot of people would like Tom Brady to come back. It doesn't look like he's going to.
Yeah. But, you know, when you look at Cam, it wasn't like he was a first-round pick and everyone thought
undrafted.
Undrafted.
I don't know if you know this, but he went to Harvard.
He did.
Have you ever heard that before?
I did.
So did Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes. There's not many of them
I think
Harvard.
Ryan and Cam probably have all of the Harvard-to-Harvard touchdown passes in history.
Didn't we
NFL
have
history.
Wasn't there another one that went to Harvard that we had on the team? Like three of them?
Three Harvard guys at the same time?
Was there a punter that was a...
A punter from Harvard?
Maybe not. Maybe I'm...
This
maybe
can
I'm,
be looked up.
I'm yeah. becoming delusional. Continue.
Well, anyway.
Yes.
And then Cam.
Cam.
You mentioned his last touchdown, yep, which I believe, if off the top of my head, I'm thinking that gave him 33.
Uh-huh. He's
the
like
only
second,
tight end.
The only tight end is Jimmy Giles,
the only
right?
Tight end, correct,
yeah.
Jeff. Well done. The only tight end in...
Buccaneer history.
Buccaneer history with more touchdowns and only by one,
mm-hmm,
is Ring of Honor member Jimmy Giles.
Wow.
Cam is also second, only, mm-hmm, by like 6 catches,
yeah,
to Giles among tight ends in team history, and he's second. It's not quite as close, but he's second in yards.
And unfortunately, he did had a couple concussions, was carted off the field in Cleveland.
I'm not sure both of those were qualified as concussions.
Oh, okay.
One of them definitely was, and one,
yeah,
was a neck injury.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he would have to be here to tell us
which was.
Were concussions.
Okay, let me just say this. He got banged up and,
yeah,
he didn't play a couple
scary
of games.
Injuries.
Yeah, very scary injuries, yes.
But so, great. I mean, just from the numbers, he's clear. I mean, he's second to Jimmy Giles in every, mm-hmm, category, and Jimmy Giles is in the Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And he's not second by much, by the way.
Right.
So, just a great career, especially for an undrafted guy. Remember when we almost lost him to the Saints?
We did lose him to the Saints.
Yeah, but
he
was
there for one game. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was on our practice squad, and then we cut him for some reason, and he immediately got picked up by the Saints, and then we played there.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was 2014.
It was.
And he was on the Saints sideline as a practice squad player, and we played, and I think we won that game. And then next week, we signed him off their practice,
yep,
squad, because you can sign a guy to your active roster. So he can help the Saints. He can thank the Saints for helping catapult him from practice squad,
yeah,
to the point, because he never left again.
No.
After he hit that active roster, then 9 years later, he had never left the active,
phenomenal,
roster again. And
phenomenal,
just the numbers kept piling up.
Yeah.
Great red zone guy. Great hands. Great contested catch guy. Took a lot of hits.
He
a couple
did.
Years ago. I think at Jameis's last year here, it felt like Jameis was leading him into one concussive,
yeah,
hit after another.
Yeah.
He was just getting blown up, yeah, all over the field.
Tough
and
dude.
We all sit up there and press conference. Oh, Cam, not again.
Tough
guy. But we love the guy, too.
Yep.
One of our favorites of all time around here. Everybody, mm-hmm, feels that way about him. So on to the next chapter for him,
yep,
probably.
Whatever,
I mean,
it may be.
I'm guessing he's probably not going to play anymore. That day. I don't think he said.
He didn't say one way or the other, but, you know, he's got a Harvard degree. So, you know. I think it's in economics, as a matter of fact.
And like Baker Mayfield, who we're going to talk to here in a moment, as he revealed at his press conference, they both have Labradoodles.
Yes.
And Cam has brought his in before, and what a cute dog.
Yeah.
We've mentioned that dog before.
Archie, I think his name was.
So cute and soft and doesn't shed at all. I want that dog.
You want to get rid of your dog.
I don't want to get rid of my dog, but she sheds a lot.
You're already dumping on your dog.
I'm not dumping on my dog. It's a fact. She sheds a lot.
Yeah, all right, continue.
And then Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Got cut surprisingly by the Jags after three seasons, I think, after he was taken fourth overall.
Which you can't really take a knock because that's when that organization was kind of upside down at that time.
They had, I don't remember who their head coach was. Doug Marrone?
Yeah, it might have been Marrone, and then next year it was.
Yeah, but he didn't. Yeah. That was last year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago.
Right.
Urban Meyer.
But he got picked up here.
That was during that era with the Tom Brady era when we were signing everybody.
That's right.
Gronk and Antonio Brown.
As Jason Light said, would I go over $100 million over the cap, spend $100 million to get to a Super Bowl? Yes, you can come to our house and visit our rings. I actually love what he said.
And remember that because that's how we can transition back to what we were talking about. But before that, Leonard Fournette kind of had to sit behind Ronald Jones, wasn't loving his role right away, got the talk to the coach, decided to stick it out, and sure enough, he
playoff Lenny.
Ronald Jones gets COVID, he takes over, and then he's playoff Lenny, scores a touchdown in every game.
Yeah.
Only a third guy to score in four different postseason games in the same postseason.
Yeah.
Then had a really nice 2021, and then last year probably ended up splitting time with Rashad White, and it looks like Bucks are transitioning to full-time Rashad White now.
Yep.
So.
And also, it's dollar-wise, too.
Yeah, it was. And I don't think anybody was surprised by this.
No.
Leonard Fournette found out. Now, we didn't officially make the move till a couple days ago, but found out that he was going to be released by the Buccaneers, and then on the next day, went on that Bucks cruise anyway. Remember that?
He
went on it.
He went on the
Bucks.
What
a stand-up guy.
He went on the Bucks cruise. And he was as nice as can be.
Were you on it?
No.
Casey told us.
I talked to people who were on it. And because that was the question of, goodness, if he gets cut, he's on the Buccaneer cruise. And the person I was talking to in our partnership department, I said, well, it doesn't matter because he's on the team until the end of the year. So you're back. It won't be until Monday. And sure enough, the boat came back in on Monday. But no, he knew and he went and he had a great time. And you know what? The Buccaneer fans appreciated him. And I think he appreciated them.
He was, I know, as we said, and he has told the story, he was frustrated early on in his first year here.
Sure.
But once he talked to the coach and realized he was going to have a role, this was Bruce at the time, Bruce Arians, since then, it was great, right? He was a team player. Was a good player.
Yep.
Really had a nice 2021.
Yeah.
Wasn't that bad last year either.
No.
He'll land somewhere.
Oh, no question. No question.
And then Donovan Smith. Left tackle is one of the most important positions on the field. You draft a guy with the second pick of the second round, and he starts at that position for eight years.
And people forget that.
Eight straight years with hardly ever missing a snap, playoffs included.
Yep.
That's a win. And Donovan himself, although he would not make excuses, I think he was banged up last year,
had surgery already in the offseason.
But he would, I'm sure, say that 2022 wasn't his best season, but he had some really good seasons along the way,
like the
Super Bowl year.
And when you look at the 2022 season and the Buccaneer offensive line, I mean, Donnie was the last person standing because Ellie Marpet.
From the Super Bowl?
Yes. Well,
last year he was.
Last year, Ellie Marpet retires.
Justin Morse was too.
Everyone was surprised by that, all right? And then Ryan Jensen gets hurt.
Yeah.
Kappa goes to Cincinnati.
Right.
So I think in fairness to him,
the whole line was in transition, for sure.
But again, that's a cap problem.
Remember when we had three guys, Jensen and Wirfs and Allie, all went to the Pro Bowl after the 2021 season? And all those guys were like, Donovan deserves to be here too.
Yes.
Donovan never had the reputation outside of Tampa around the NFL that was commensurate. In fact, even in Tampa, that was commensurate with how well he was playing a premier position.
Correct.
Inside this building, year after year, it was clear that inside this building, Donovan was very well valued, highly valued.
I think what got Donovan is when he did make a mistake, it just seemed like it was at the worst possible time you could make a mistake.
Yeah, I suppose.
So,
a couple times throughout his career.
But I also believe he did, he got caught for holding a number of times, but I also believe he did that to protect TB12.
Well, he had to, right?
Yeah. So I go with that.
Okay, so you said, what was that great transition you made?
Which one?
Back to talking about this offseason. Oh, well. Just remember, you just listened to it, so the fans know. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, okay. I transitioned somewhere.
You gave me a transition back when I wasn't done talking about those three guys yet.
Oh, okay.
But we go back to how this offseason has unfolded so far. And if you had said on February 15th, the day after the Super Bowl.
Oh, the $100 million and the Super Bowl rings, come visit our house? Was that?
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. Okay. Where if you
when you have to work this hard to tell people no, it's a good transition, it's not a very good transition.
Yeah, but I had to think about, because we talked so much stuff. But the fact that Jason Light, you know, said the organization spent $100 million.
Pushed it into the future.
Pushed it into the future. All chips on the table. We're about to do something.
And
would
it
you do it over again?
100%.
100%.
Come look at our rings.
You have a Super Bowl. You have two NFC South Division titles in 3 years.
You had zero playoff appearances from 2008 to 2019.
Does that not seem crazy?
And then you get three in a row.
I know.
And including a Lombardi. 100% worth it. We're saying this as if we're arguing with, I'm sure everybody listening to this feels the same way.
Yeah, but what's funny is I don't remember not being in the playoffs.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I've erased those times.
Okay, good for you.
I'm
like a cornerback, right? You have to forget it.
Well, I'm kind of like a 2000 and I'm like a 1997 guy to 2006. Good period.
You could have stopped at 05. 06 was terrible.
Okay, 05.
Right.
Okay,
well, 07 we went back to the playoffs.
Well, there you go.
97 to 07.
There you go. And then kind of blank.
Yeah.
And then 2019.
12-year coma.
I thought when Bruce Arians came, I thought things would be.
And Jameis threw 31 interceptions?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
The famous 30-30 year?
Yep. 30-30.
You can see the defense coming together there.
Yes.
And that's why when Tom Brady was available stunningly, the Bucs were ready to make that move. And Tom Brady was willing to do it because you could look at this team and go, whoa, look at those receivers.
There you go.
Defense is on the verge of breaking through.
Right. So, yes, it's a good transition.
But the transition was, you mentioned Jason Light saying that the Bucs pushed $100 million into the future because they went all in. Well, now that's due.
Yes.
Some of it. A big chunk of that is now due. And so on February 15th, I'm thinking the Bucs are going to take their medicine like they did with the $35 million Tom Brady cap hit. And they're going to take all their medicine, and we're going to see all these guys leave, and they're going to do the best they can to win, but they're not going to be in a great position to win because they're going to lose guys. The quarterback situation is going to be hard to figure, and they'll try to win, but they won't be in a good position to win. And so maybe 2023 is tough. Man, they're trying to win.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that after they signed Jamel Dean.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Your mileage may vary depending on how much you've been a fan of his. He's had some really good years.
That's right.
He was surprisingly good in a tough situation with the Rams at the end of last year. And I'm not saying surprisingly because of him, just anybody to be that good in that situation.
And you wanted, and you know, bringing someone like Baker Mayfield in is good because you have Kyle Trask on your roster. He's a second round pick. He hasn't played. Now you got competition.
Right.
And that's what you want. It's just not, okay, Tom's gone, you're the guy. It's like, okay, let's see what we have.
Whoever wins that competition is probably going to be better than if it had just been Kyle Trask without competition.
And during the offseason, they made some coaching changes, which
a new OC,
which seems to be something everybody's excited about.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, re-signed Jamel Dean, brought in Baker Mayfield, re-signed Anthony Nelson. Some of this stuff, by the time we post this, I guess tomorrow.
I hope.
Which is a Tuesday, won't be official yet, but I don't mind talking about it
because
they've been reported. And so far, everything that's been reported has happened. Like the Lenny and the Donnie and the Cam releases all came out before they actually
they
were official. Baker Mayfield before it was official.
Yeah.
Levante David has not signed anything yet, but head coach, I mean, Jason Light said at his press conference
pretty good
that Levante was back.
The fact that you were able to bring Levante back, to me, I think is the crown jewel, so to speak, of our offseason.
If you told me Jason was going to get Jamel Dean and Levante David back, and then you can't be guaranteed anything else.
I would have said no.
No, I'm saying if you were told he was going to get
those two,
and you were guaranteed nothing else,
I'd say,
I would have
for
jumped
it.
In. I would have taken that deal in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But that's not all they've done.
No.
Some of the reported guys that could be coming in, Greg Gaines, has had 8.5 sacks over the last 2 years with the Rams.
Young guy, too.
He's only 26.
Yeah.
He was teammates with Vita for 3 years in Washington.
Yeah, they're coming back together.
They had almost identical stats during those 3 years.
Yeah, a little bit of a reunion, so you got to like that.
Levante hasn't been made official. There's a couple more, aren't there?
Well, Nacho we talked about.
Nacho
he's
left.
Gone. Cam Gill's coming back.
Cam Gill, we did make that one. Cam Gill, who's shown a little. He was going to be the fourth man in the pass rush rotation last year until he had a Lisfranc injury in his right foot during the first preseason game. So that was a bummer.
And then Anthony Nelson's coming back.
Anthony Nelson, I did.
Which there
that
is
one.
A there is a plus side there.
Pat O'Connor, who's been a big time special teamer.
I wish they would have done that on St. Patty's Day. That would have been so awesome. They got close, but you know, no leprechaun.
The news broke on Saturday, which was the day after.
Yes.
So they got really close.
I know.
Didn't make it official. He's
big special teams guy. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of blocks on special teams.
He plays a ton of snaps on special teams.
He does. And that's, you know, there you go. That cohesiveness is still around.
Special teams are important.
Yeah. I am optimistic for 2023. I think the NFC South is going to be. I think it's wide open. I don't think.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think it's. You know,
it depends on how much you. Two things. How good you think Derek Carr is, and how good you think that rest of that Saints roster remains after they lost some guys.
Correct.
They lost Marcus Davenport. Mm-hmm. They lost Shai Tuttle. They lost David Onyemata. That's a lot from their front line.
Sure.
And Cam Jordan, who's had an unbelievably great career, isn't getting any younger.
No.
So. How good are the Saints going to be?
I don't know.
The Panthers are almost certainly going to be playing a rookie cornerback, whether it be C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young.
Yep.
The Falcons seem to be leaning towards sticking with Ritter.
The Falcons have been doing some good moves, though.
They brought in, who did they bring up to back up Ritter? Somebody. Oh, Taylor Heineke.
Yes.
Who the Buccaneers know. He can play.
I was just going to say, as soon as I blanked for a second, I go, who's that quarterback that always gave us fits? Oh, yes.
Case Keenum. Talking about Case Keenum. Taylor Heineke is the new Case Keenum.
Yeah. Okay.
He's probably had three good games in his career. And
no, against
two of
us.
Against the Bucs.
Yeah.
Don't mean to say that. He's had more good games.
No. We kid.
He's been good against us.
Sure.
That's a fact.
Yes.
It's like really, really.
Really, really, really,
really
good.
I was going to say old, but let's say really, really seasoned Buccaneer fans.
Really, really good.
No. I was going to say. Really, really, and I'm not saying old, really, really seasoned to Buccaneer fans probably would remember that before Taylor Heineke and before Case Keenum, there was one Wade Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota.
Minnesota Vikings, who didn't do much in his career but had
quite a
career against the Buccaneers.
Yep.
It's weird. You look through the Bucs media guide and the records, and they have a section of records for what opponents against us.
Sure.
You see Wade Wilson's name all over the place.
Wow.
That reminds me. Let's look up Wade Wilson real quick.
Just for fun.
Let's look at his team splits.
I think he played for Minnesota, and then I'm trying. Did he go to Houston afterwards?
Which superhero is he the alter ego for? There is a superhero whose alter ego is Wade Wilson.
Really?
I'm going to have to look that up now.
Wade Wilson. You're getting into superhero.
I'm not even a superhero guy. I have seen maybe like three of the Marvel movies. The one with
is
the snap
Wade
and
Wilson?
All that?
Is it?
What? Oh, it's Deadpool. I do like the Deadpool movies. Those are funny.
All right.
A disfigured Canadian mercenary with superhuman regenerative healing abilities. And he's also really funny as played by Ryan Reynolds. Okay. But I digress.
You did.
Wade Wilson, I was looking him up. Mm. Not Deadpool, but
yes.
Career. Wow, he played a long time.
Yes, he did. Who did he play for?
Minnesota for 10 years. Not Houston. Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. See, I thought it was a Texan team, and then I was like, I don't think it was
Dallas.
He
only started one game for Dallas, though.
Okay.
New Orleans. Played 2 years in New Orleans, started 14 games. I don't really remember
what
that.
Year was that?
93 and 4, which
right.
we were,
but we're
here.
There. Yeah,
I don't really remember that.
Be my third season.
Oh, 93, he started 14 games, went 7-7. We weren't very good in 93. No. 1 year in Atlanta and 1 year with the Raiders.
Wow.
Finished up in 98.
Really, I was going to say, he had a great career.
81 to 98, dude.
Jeez, 17 years?
18 years.
Wow. That's a good run. Well, then that's solid. Just think if he could have played us every week. He'd be in
the
Hall
of Fame. So let's look at his split. So overall, Wade Wilson had a career 75.6 passer rating with 99 touchdowns against 102 interceptions, which is not a good ratio.
You think?
But shall we look at his splits? Shall we look at his splits? I love having my laptop with me, Dante. This is very helpful.
Not me.
Career splits. Okay, against the Buccaneers.
Yes.
8-1 in his 9 starts.
All right.
104 passer rating.
Wow.
14 touchdowns. Wait a minute. Wait. Is that right? And 6 interceptions. So he had a negative touchdown to interception ratio.
With everybody else?
With everybody else, and he was 14-6 against us.
Wow, just think if he wasn't, how bad it would have been if he wasn't that good against us.
Yeah, so yeah. Right. Wade Wilson, Taylor Heinicke is the new Wade Wilson.
So, yes, I think 2023 is going to be some fun.
Right, so the whole point of the reason we're talking about Taylor Heinicke is we were going through the South.
Yes.
And it being a winnable division. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Atlanta is probably going to stick with Desmond Ridder, although they are in position, if one of the QBs falls a little bit, maybe Will Levis, maybe yep. Anthony Richardson, that they could either get him or trade up a little bit. In her last mock draft on Buccaneers.com, Bree had the Falcons trading up two spots with the Lions to take Anthony Richardson, I think, fifth overall.
He's interesting.
I want him in our division.
I watched his, you know how they do the chalkboard with the quarterback. You ever seen that? John Gruden started it.
Yeah,
now
sure.
It was Mariucci.
Have him stand up there and do plays.
Had him stand him up there and do a play.
Ooch.
Then they erase it, and then they sit down and talk a little bit, and then they say, okay, draw up the play.
So Mariucci is the one doing that now?
Yeah.
Inherited
yeah.
that from Gruden?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny because when we hired Gruden or traded for him,
right.
it was rumored that we were going to do Mariucci.
He was the night before, yes. It was going to be him. And rumor has it that he said, let me talk to my wife. I'll get back to you in 24 hours.
Oh.
And after that, it was over
Whoops.
With. That's the rumor I heard.
Okay.
All right.
Can't be substantiated, but
no.
it's a juicy story.
Well, it could be true. Could be true. So anyways, yes, he is interesting. Gator only played like 6 games, but total, big guy, like 6'4", 6'6", something crazy, like 2'4".
Richardson?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he's big and he's fast. He's yeah. unbelievably athletic.
Right.
He blew away the combine in the athletic touchdown.
That's right. Like the fastest quarterback ever.
But he's raw.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. He's got the highest ceiling of all
Well, you
guys.
Know there's a coach out there saying, if I give me that guy,
I can make him the best.
He'd be the best guy ever.
Yeah, and he may be great. That's why I don't
sure.
want him in. The Buccaneers were
Unless he's with us.
Well, true.
Well.
The Buccaneers were able to handle Mike Vick
mm-hmm.
better than most teams
oh,
during that
yeah,
time.
Oh, yeah, they had Mike.
But
they
we
had,
don't have Derek Brooks anymore.
They had Mike Vick crying on the sideline. Remember that game?
No, that wasn't Mike Vick. That was Cordell Stewart with the Steelers.
You sure it was Cordell?
100%.
Poor
Slash.
Cordell.
Isn't Cordell
oh,
the one who's called
yeah,
Slash?
Yeah, yeah.
And he did, and he cried on the sideline after a particular
I
bad
would,
game.
Too.
Yeah, don't hold that against him.
Yeah.
I cry at movies. I cry at weddings.
I know you do.
I cry at every wedding.
You are very sentimental.
About
for being
certain
so,
things.
For being as salty
Am
as
I
you are.
Am I losing my salty dog cred by
you are,
this?
You are.
I love weddings, but I cry at all of them.
I always say this. If Scott's in a really grumpy mood and he's just like, all I ever do is say, hey, how's Alex? And then Scott's like the nicest guy ever. That's his kryptonite. That's how I get him.
He's home for spring break.
Is he?
Or he was, and uh-huh. he went to some with some friends to Naples.
All right, little spring break time.
His friends
nice.
Who drove down from Georgia Tech, and they went right through Tampa.
Wow. And did they stop for the night?
They were going to hook up with him, but he was playing golf.
Oh.
Not very well. He's not a good golfer.
Doesn't matter.
He's left-handed. He has 3 clubs.
Great.
He's got a putter, a wedge, and something he calls a hybrid.
Okay. That's fair enough. Got to start somewhere.
His buddies are real good golfers.
Are they? Yeah.
At USF.
Well, that's the best part about golf, though. You can play with someone who's really, really good, and you can suck because it's all handicapped. So
is that the best thing about golf?
It is.
Because I don't know any good things about golf.
Well,
I can't stand golf.
Well, one day
you'll have your golf.
One day you'll learn.
No, I won't. I'm out on golf, Jeff.
If Alex said, Dad, let's go play around.
I don't have any clubs. I don't have any clubs.
You can rent them.
I don't want to rent clubs.
I rented them out.
I used
Arizona.
To play an entire softball season for $20.
Yeah.
And now you want me to go play one round of golf? How much is that going to set me back, by the way?
Depends on where you play.
Just say reason, not like Valspar.
Right.
Where do they play? What's that called? Innsbruck?
Innsbruck. That's reasonable.
That's reasonable?
Well, yes and no.
I thought that was a high-end one.
It is.
They
it's played
a tournament
end.
There.
They did. It's very.
But I'm also not talking like the old, remember the old Hall of Fame golf course next to old $1?
Yeah.
I did play that a couple times.
Right.
That was probably my speed.
Okay. Well, it depends.
So just a middle-of-the-road golf course.
What? $60, $70.
Just to play.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to lose a dozen balls, so how much does that cost? I'm gonna hit them into the water in the woods.
Well, if you buy used balls, it wouldn't cost you a whole lot.
Yeah, that's probably what I should do.
Yeah.
And then I have to rent clubs.
Yep.
There's a cart fee, right?
Yeah.
So I'm probably...
Well, okay.
There's the 19th hole where I'm going to have a couple brews.
When we were at the Biltmore in Phoenix, the Biltmore Arizona
Biltmore, resort.
Beautiful resort. They have 2 golf courses. I played golf there. I rented clubs,
cart,
and fees, and driving range. It was $130.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That's a deal.
I played like five seasons of softball for that. And that's like 10 games plus playoffs.
Okay. Yes.
What? Email us at saltydogs@buccaneers.com with your thoughts on whether or not golf is good.
Now, there are places, you know, like right now it's expensive to play in Florida because it's tour season. But once you get past like Easter or into May,
June. So when you're also going to sweat your ass off.
Yeah, but what's wrong with
that?
Sounds
great.
You do it during training camp. Why wouldn't you do it around a golf course?
Because I'm wearing like shorts and a t-shirt at training camp. You got to dress up for golf.
No, you don't.
You got to dress up for golf.
A collared shirt and a pair of shorts? Come on.
You can wear shorts on the golf course?
Yes.
I thought you had to wear pants.
No, no.
Can you wear jeans?
Well, that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, but can you?
You could.
See, golf
pants.
Is so
depends on where you depends on where you play. Depends
years ago,
you.
I was so, playing golf.
Listen, people,
and
up,
I committed a mortal sin, Jeff.
You
I walked across a,
someone's putting
fly.
Oh man!
And you would have thought I shot the president.
Yeah,
that's why golf can go jump
well,
in a lake.
Sure, that you
I make
cost
one
me,
tiny little mistake nobody had ever told me about before.
You cost me two strokes with that. It could hit your
yeah. I understand.
Footprint.
Don't do it, but you don't have to be dressed down because the first time
well,
you ever played,
that person probably wasn't very nice.
Yeah, well, that's the way golf is, though.
Okay,
hoity-toity.
No, it's not.
It's hoity-toity.
Continue.
Anyway,
we
what
digress.
Were you even talking about?
We were talking.
God, you blew it. I'm sure I had something really smart going
yeah.
on.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were talking. We were talking about. We were talking. Never mind. Let's continue. Go forward.
What's next
Move
on the
forward.
List?
Yes.
Yeah, we need to wrap this up so yes. we can talk to Baker, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Another guy we're apparently going to sign.
Yeah.
Although it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, that's what we're
Chase
talking.
Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
Running back.
Oh yeah,
it's been rumored that the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
He's a decent little player.
Nice compliment to what we
had some good years in Arizona.
Yeah,
can catch passes.
Yep,
not the biggest guy.
No, but you don't necessarily need the biggest guy.
Yeah, so now you got him, and you got Rashad mm-hmm. in the lead role, and you got Keyshawn Vaughn still around.
There you go.
So you know it's the making of the beginning. Some people think the Bucs will take Bijan Robinson, the Texas running back, who's been called the best prospect at the position since Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
At 18.
Do you take a running back in the first round?
I'm with the group that says it's not good value to take a running back in the
That's
first round.
That's what I was thinking.
That said, so, okay, can you take a running back in the second round? Heck yeah,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so it's okay to take a running back 34th, but not 18th?
Well, I think also it would be who do you have at 18th or 19th? If it wasn't going to be a running back, what other position was available that you would say, okay, we're going to take this pick for a D lineman?
I think there's going to be, well, we did.
Or an O lineman.
Yeah, or an O lineman. A lot of mock drafts, including several of them that we've posted on our site, have had us take a corner back.
Right.
And there's good depth. There will definitely be a good corner available at 19, maybe mm-hmm. somebody like Maryland's Deontay Banks. However, we were all assuming that the Bucs weren't going to be able to get Jamel Dean back.
Mm hmm.
I still think you can always take a corner in the first round, and I'm happy with it.
How about a safety?
Well, if there's only one that I see ever in any first round mocks, because mm-hmm. it's not a good year for safeties.
Okay.
At least in the early going. But that's fine because the Bucs have found good value in the second and third round.
I was just going to say.
But Brian Branch of Alabama, what's nice about him is he's actually a really good slot corner, too.
Uh-huh.
So you can play him at safety or at slot corner, wherever you ended up with the biggest need. Presumably, assuming he can handle it on the NFL level, and the scouts think that he can. And when you think about it, the Buccaneers over the last 2 years have locked up both Carlton and Jamel, two really good corners,
right.
two long-term deals. So you're set there, right? So do you take a defensive back in the first round? Well, who's your nickel?
Yeah,
Sean Murphy Bunting's gone,
mm-hmm.
and he was in and out of that role anyway.
Right.
Who's your nickel back on the roster right now? Dee Delaney?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who it is because it was mostly Antoine Winfield last year.
Yeah.
But Coach Bowles has said he wants to let Antoine focus on one position this year. Rather
I like
than,
that.
I do too. And he did not say which one, but I'd be willing to bet it's safety because you want his playmaking back there.
Sure.
And we're thin at safety after losing Mike Edwards and and we have not at least yet re-signed Cam O'Neill or Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
So you're thin there. You can have his playmaking ability, and you can still find ways to get him up around the line of scrimmage so he can blitz the passer. You can find other ways.
Sure.
Todd Bowles can easily find ways.
And he will.
To play Antoine at safety exclusively, but still get some value out of how good he is around the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
So have you looked at any mock drafts? It's probably not your thing, right?
I you know why I don't look at them? Because it's just some guy talking or some person 100%. Talking about, 100%. Oh, what about this? What about this? I don't have time for that.
The funny thing is, there are guys out there that crunch tape.
Oh, yeah.
There really are.
Oh,
and women. Men and women who cover kind of crunch the tape and come up with their own.
There are a couple people that I do keep an eye on that, you know, when I'm looking at when we get closer to the draft, because right now it's too far out. Okay. And so I wait till after the pro days and everything. But I do have to look at it because we do a draft show.
We do a draft show.
So, you know, it helps to have a general knowledge of what's out there.
Well, I've been following all of them and keeping a database of them.
Wow. Well, then I'll just borrow your stuff at the end of the day.
All you got to do is every week on Monday, which mm-hmm. is when we're today. Recording this today, Bree puts up a story on Buccaneers.com that's mm-hmm. a roundup of like 7 or 8 mock drafts. So you can just look through. You don't have to read the mock drafts themselves.
Okay.
You can just quickly skim and let's see here. Let's take a quick look.
Like crib notes.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a little representative taste of what people are predicting
what's
for us.
Out there. I like
so
it.
Let's look at these. They got Baker's NFL what? Network interview up on the site.
Wow. Right?
So go there if you want to see that. Bucs fans, you can probably, I don't know how long it'll take them to get it up, but the press conference will be up.
Wow.
Today, and then this will be, we're going to talk to Baker here in a minute.
Yep.
Mock draft roundup. Bucky Brooks of NFL.com says Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Edge Keon White, Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my son's going to school. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports says Arkansas linebacker Drew Sanders.
All right.
Kind of the idea there being that even though it's so awesome that Levante's coming back, mm-hmm. we only have Levante and Devin under contract for one more year.
Sure.
So it might be time to start thinking of the future there.
You probably need to, yes. You're good.
Bijan Robinson says Brintley Weissman of the Draft Network.
Mm.
That's the running back we were just talking about. Our old pal from the Bay Area, Trevor Sikkema.
That's who I always like.
He does crunch tape.
He is really good.
I listen to his podcast.
Yes.
Him and I can't think of the other guy's name, but it's called the... I'll have it here in a second.
We had him on one time.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed his work.
It was before the Devin White draft, because I remember mm-hmm. we talked about Ed Oliver, and that was in the mm-hmm. same draft.
Yep.
It's all right. His
podcast. Don't know.
Draft-related podcast is called...
Draft.
It's for PFF. Here, I'm looking it up on Stitcher.
All right, go ahead.
I'll have it here in a moment.
In just 60 seconds.
Less than that. The NFL Stock Exchange.
Oh, okay.
They always say ring the bell right at the beginning. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway, those are, and then he says Darnell Wright, the tackle from Tennessee, mm-hmm. who's a right tackle.
Which means if you go with the right tackle, you take Tristan and move him to the left.
Yeah, he did play left tackle in 2021, but wasn't as good as he has been at right tackle for Tennessee.
Okay.
Somebody I don't know named Bo Marchionte.
Don't know.
Of SI.com also says Darnell Wright. So there's a couple.
Sure. Well, like I said, I like to wait until
Brianna put her, I think, third or maybe her second or third mock draft she's done up last week.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it's going up tomorrow. That'll be today, though, when you're listening to this.
Sure.
So I'm not spoiling anything to tell you that she is giving us Brian Branch, who we were just talking about.
Oh, okay.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to hop back to.
All right. Before we get to Baker.
Yeah. You had asked me about Harvard.
Yeah.
Okay, so here on Pro Football References, everybody who's played for Harvard,
okay.
who's from Harvard.
All right.
I'm trying to find out who you might be talking about.
No luck.
Well, here are the names. Joe Azelby, Matt Burke. He didn't play for us.
Nope.
Cam Brate.
Yep.
Ben Broniker.
Nope.
Desmond Bryant.
Nope.
Stanley Burnham.
Nope.
That was way back in the 1920s.
So. Yeah.
Roger Caron.
No.
Another one from the 20s, Eddie Casey, Charlie Clark, Bill Craven, Harry Dadmon from the 20s, Clifton Dawson, John Dockery, that's a good name.
Yeah.
Nick Easton, Chris Eitzman, Carl Edelman, Earl Evans, Anthony Fabiano. Did we have him? He's a lineman.
Mm.
Oh, it looks like he's in a Bucs jersey in his picture, so I guess
Fabiano.
So. He was here at some point. He played in the regular season for Cleveland and Indianapolis, but it looks like he's wearing a Bucs jersey in his picture, so he might have been with us during the offseason at some point. Anthony Firkser, tight end. We haven't had him.
No.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Fitzmagic.
Yep.
Hermie Gundlach. That is Herman Gundlach.
We would remember Hermie.
From the that's a very 1930s name.
Yeah, I like it.
As is Arnie Horween.
Yeah, Arnie.
From the 1920s. And I guess probably his brother, Ralph Horween.
Ah, Arnie and Ralph.
Dan Jiggetts. Kyle Juszczyk.
No.
That's the fullback, the one of the more famous Harvard players. Isaiah Kasavinsky, which sounds like the Unabomber.
So there's more than we thought.
Danny, I'm almost done.
Okay.
I wouldn't have done the whole list if it was too much longer.
Okay.
Dick King, Bobby Leo, Joe McClone, Pat McAnally, the punter, Al Miller, Joe Murphy, Tyler Ott, Joseph Pellegrini, Adam Redmond, Red Steele, Rich Sorrow, S-Z-R-O, and Cole Toner. So, no, I think Cam and Fitz are the only two.
Hmm. Well, what about Fabio?
Maybe Fabiano, but Fabio. Maybe Fabiano. I'd have to look up his roster moves to know.
All right.
It sounds familiar, though.
Who knew?
Played from 2016 to 2020. Anyway, you got anything else? Should we go out on that high note?
Of
listing all the Harvard players in the NFL.
Well, I thought it was just kind of interesting, you know. Oh, yeah, I just Googled professional athletes from Harvard to play for the Bucks: Cameron Brate, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Anthony Fabiano.
Okay, there you go.
Look at that.
How about that?
How about that? I probably could have done that and saved us like 45 seconds. Okay.
I guess he must have been with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Because Cam and Cam was with us during that whole 16 to 20. That's when Fabiano was in the league. And Fitz was what, 18 to 20?
Yep.
18 to 19? 18 to 19?
Let's see. What do they say? I don't see the date that he was actually there.
Fabio's to do with the hair, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Is it Fabio?
Yeah.
F-A-B-I-O?
Yeah, he got hit with a bird on a roller coaster and smashed his nose. Don't ask me.
I do remember. Now that you say it, I remember. I remember seeing that video.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know why I know that.
The bird, the bird was getting revenge for
the
big unit Randy Johnson did.
Yes, yes. Let's go get Baker Mayfield and have some fun.
You want to have some fun with Baker Mayfield?
Yep. Let's
like,
do it.
Or at home with Baker Mayfield?
Oh.
Those Progressive commercials were great.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Absolutely great.
Yep, yep.
I'm not going to go yet until I've looked up Anthony Fabiano, though.
Okay, because it's really bothering you.
He signed with us on October 15th of 2019.
All right.
To the practice squad.
All right.
And he's on the practice squad for the second half of 2019.
The fact that I knew we had another one. But for some reason, I thought he was, yeah.
There you go. But and he went to camp the following year.
Yep.
And didn't make the roster, and that's been it for him to this point.
Like
okay,
so
we're going to talk to Baker Mayfield, newest Buccaneer quarterback, who's now going to be in a competition with Kyle Trask for the starting job, and we'll get to that in just a moment, and then we'll come back to answer a couple Buccaneers or Salty Dog fan questions.
The Salty Dogs.
And we're back here on the Salty Dogs podcast with Scott Smith and Jeff Ryan, and we have our special guest with us now, new Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield. Baker, thanks for sitting down with us for a few minutes.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, especially since he's been doing the car wash with every media person. So we get him finally, and he can chill out, relax. And
we're probably not going to reinvent the wheel with any of these questions, so
you guys
apologize.
Said, save it best for last.
Yeah, there you go. Already.
So just
making friends. I like this.
I think the big question, you already got asked there, but if you can tell it to our listeners, why you decided to come here, why this destination was attractive to you?
Yeah, to be honest with you, successful organization. They've had success for a long time. Obviously, in recent years, they're not too far removed from a Super Bowl. And a lot of key pieces that are still here. I respect Coach Bowles quite a bit, and I've heard nothing but good things about Dave Canales. Just meeting him for the first time today, extremely impressed. But then you talk about the team people will actually be around and working with. It's great defense, great key pieces on offense. And so I'm just looking forward to just the potential we have and to see where this thing's going to go. And that's the best part about this time of year is with a new system, everybody's growing in it together. So we get to see what we're really going to become.
We don't even know Dave Canales very well yet.
He was
just hired a while ago, and we haven't really had a lot of interaction with him. But I like what you said in there. You get the impression already that he plays to the strengths of the players on the roster. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a few coaches that are very similar philosophy-wise and just conversation with him. You know, Lincoln Riley, Sean McVay, guys that are like that you know, they have their own system, they have their own beliefs, they have their foundation, right? But they also know that their players might not be doing whatever that foundation is the best of their ability. So he's going to tailor the offense to whatever they're great at, and he's going to make sure they're in a good spot to have success.
When you look at the Buccaneers wide receivers, what do you think of immediately?
Dogs. I respect their game.
Is that a Cleveland Brown thing?
Or? No, it is
oh,
not.
Oh, okay. They're, not.
They're just straight dogs. How they play the game. They play physical. They're very, very smart, have a lot of experience. So I'm very excited to work with them.
when you talk about this new offense, you made a comment, and we've heard about it before. It's going to be run oriented. Mm-hmm. So, as a quarterback, how does that affect you, and how do you like that philosophy?
You have to be able to run the ball to win in this league, to sustain success. And so, for me, it's very important. And when you want to have your play action game, it's got to marry up with that. And then it always makes your big guys happy when you keep a couple bootlegs and keepers off of that to move the pocket, move the platform to throw. It makes them happy, makes their job easier. So as long as you keep the big guys up front happy, everybody's happy.
Yeah, speaking of dogs, Ryan Jensen, I don't know how much you know him yet.
Yeah, had a lot of film layover with him. Yeah, he does. He's nasty when he steps on the field. So I'm really excited about that group and getting to know them better and better.
I think 2020 was obviously probably your best year so far, but the weird part is going to the Rams and playing in a game like 3 days later. That's hard to just wrap your head around. I mean, yeah. Can you just – I know we know what happened.
Not only play, but win.
Yeah, did fantastic. We know what happened, but what were those like 3 or 4 days like? Was it just crazy?
I mean, I got there to the facility at Tuesday night at like 10 p.m.,
And you got to also say it was on West Coast time, It's like 1 o'clock in the morning to his body at this time.
Yeah, I was tried to learn as much as I could, get to know the coaches that night, and then came back on Wednesday. And when they threw me in for the walkthrough on Wednesday, I thought it was a joke. There's no way I'm actually going to play this. But got that down for a little bit, and the more I studied, the more I feel like I was cramming for the SAT. but it was comfortable. But the best part about it was they said they weren't going to put me in a bad situation unless they felt comfortable, and I felt comfortable with it. And you know what? Thank goodness it was a Thursday night game. So I had a little bit longer to study on Thursday, and it was so much fun. One of those memories I'll keep for a lifetime.
I think the key thing you just said, they're not going to put you in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. Through your career, have you felt like you've been put in bad situations?
You know what? I'm not going to get into specifics on that. You know what? Like, but that's a very unique scenario where it's two days later after being picked up. And if I told them I wasn't ready to play, or they felt like I wasn't ready, they weren't going to put me in. So that's the part about it where it was definitely a mutual respect thing, and I love that.
We do like the Rams uniform, Joe. Though I did like.
We do.
Well, you like the Chargers, but it's all blue.
We do.
Speaking for me, all of a sudden,
we're a team.
I see. We're all
about team.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what do you know about the Bay Area? You started looking for a place to stay yet?
I haven't started yet. I guess truly learning about it though. I mean, everybody speaks very, very highly of it. Says, you know, south side of Tampa is the way to go.
Yeah, that's the trendy area. That's probably where you want to go.
Well, that's what everybody says.
That's not where I live.
Till I live here for a while.
I don't know. But you know what? That's not my decision. That'll be my wife's decision. So,
speaking of your wife, Emily is her name?
Yes.
How has she dealt with all of this? You were in Cleveland. You were in Carolina. You're out in L.A. Yep. Now you're coming to Tampa. You know, it doesn't only affect you, but it affects your family. How has she been dealing with all this?
She's an absolute trooper. I mean, I couldn't be more thankful for who she is and to be next to her along the way. She's had nothing but grace throughout this whole process, and so I'm very thankful for that. And she's excited for the next chapter. I'll say that as well.
Well, you can't complain about the weather, so don't get used to wearing that sweatshirt, because in about 3 days from now, it's going to be 80 degrees. So,
if not tomorrow.
We consider this a cold snap.
So you come here, and I'm sure you were told it's a competition. Right?
Absolutely.
Kyle Trask is here, and he hasn't really had a chance much yet to play, but the team thinks highly of him. So you've been there just a year ago. How do you approach going into training camp and a competition?
Listen, I'm going to try and be the best version of myself, but the quarterback room as a whole is extremely important to the success of the franchise, for everybody to feel like we're on the same page. And, you know, whoever wins the starting job, they're going to deserve to win that. I know it's going to be a straightforward competition, but the other person in that whole room has to be messengers for what we're trying to accomplish as an offense, as a team. And it's that room is so vital. So I'm looking forward to working with Kyle, competing with them, and just getting together with Thad Lewis and Dave as well along the way.
Is part of that winning that competition or doing well in that competition, is part of that figuring out how to lead this team?
Absolutely. I think, you know, however you win that competition, you got to be yourself. You got to be authentic. You can't force it. So I'm just going to be myself, be that best version of myself I can be, and push forward and try and compete.
Have you always felt like you've been authentic? Is there any point during your career that you haven't been?
There's been times where I've been told to try and button up and do certain things, but that's just not who I am, and that's not how I play the best. So I'm gonna be myself and have fun while doing it.
Sounds good.
What's the hardest part about being a first-round pick or being the number one pick? As you look back, not forward, as you look back, What do you say is the hardest part?
You know what? I think, you know, I'm extremely blessed to be in that position. Mm-hmm. I think worrying too much about outside opinions early on in my career was a huge part of it. But you know what? If that's the position I'm in, be fortunate, be thankful for it and enjoy the process. Try and make the most of it. I'd say, got caught up with too much BS on the side in the beginning and, instead of just focusing on the priorities.
Wouldn't that, though, kind of attribute to, what are you, 26, 27 now? Yeah, you're going to be 27?
27, yeah.
Well, wouldn't you just consider that as just being your age and it's a learning process?
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. That's a part of growing up. But you know what, the position we're in, it's obviously a little bit more scrutinized under the microscope, but that's the nature of this game. That's a blessing of being able to play the sport for your job. It's a dream.
So I hope you're going to be you, because you know what, you look at your film and everything, and then they draft you, and then people try to mold you. I like the fact that you've been sticking to who you are. I think that's a plus.
I appreciate that.
I don't know if that's going to help you, but
I think it will. I promise.
No, because I said it.
I promise, Jeff. I wouldn't say this, but I can't help myself.
What?
I'm a Sooners fan.
Oh, there we go.
I was born in Norman. Did you enjoy your years there?
I mean,
it looked like it.
I did. I even though I grew up in Austin, Texas, in the enemy territory, I grew up a Sooner fan. So that was definitely a dream come true. So I love Norman. Great college town. That's been the best part, is no matter what team I'm on, I know I have supporters back there in the state of Oklahoma, and yeah. I love it.
All my family's in Texas, so we're on the wrong side of the Red River rivalry. Red River rivalry, is that right?
Yep.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay, I like that.
They're going to the SEC now, right?
Yeah. Slowly but surely. I don't know when it's happening.
Is that a good thing?
Who knows?
Yeah, right. I don't watch enough college football to know.
No, you're getting it. I just know that you went to Oklahoma. I knew that. I mean, that's about it, as far as I go.
So what's next? How do you get started? I heard you say you're going to dive right in. So what does that mean?
Going to get the playbook, start to, as much as they have installed. I know the coaches as well are learning it as well. So we'll see. Get as much as I can to keep studying on my own until we all get together. And right now the process is just not trying to be too hard on it. It's a growing pain. So you're going to learn as the OTAs go on, as we practice together. There might be some things that we emphasize in the first couple of installs that we really don't even run in the season. So it's, to me, this part right now is working out, getting in shape, and getting to know my teammates.
Have you met Thad Lewis yet? I know you met
Dave.
Yeah. He's new to the job too, but very highly thought of.
Yeah, and I've been really impressed with Thad and his toe socks, whatever he's got going on.
I don't know what
they look. They look comfy. They look like he's got extra grip.
In other words, he's not wearing shoes. He's wearing toe socks.
Well, he's comfortable.
He's being comfortable.
He's comfortable. He's making the room comfortable.
I can respect it.
Yeah.
Good.
How difficult is it to get to where your philosophy or the play calls to forget as you know one thing and then have to learn another? How difficult is that?
To me, it's always be where your feet are. What system am I actually in right now? What's the goal of this play? How we're calling it? What's the footwork? But also use, if I've run a similar scheme, how can I relate the good and the bad from the past experiences to help me out now? So just trying to be present in the system to accomplish that goal, to set the tone. Is I'm team-oriented, offense-oriented, and just to try and accomplish that.
Do you have a favorite play?
Yeah, let me divulge that right now.
I thought maybe, you know,
nice try, Jeff.
Well, we do. You know, we get them to relax, get real comfortable, and then we, bam, we got
you
one.
You never know.
There we go.
Then we'd have to edit it out.
This would be my last Salty Dogs. Yeah. It's perfect.
Well, Baker, thank you for your time. We've already had a lot of this today, so we'll let you go. But we really appreciate, you know, letting our fans get a chance to hear from you.
Sure, appreciate that.
And we'll catch up to you as the season progresses, I guess you say. All right.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Very good. Thanks, Baker.
Thank you, guys.
The Salty Dogs.
And we're back here on the Salty Dogs podcast for our last segment. I'm Scott Smith.
I'm Jeff Ryan, and I enjoyed Cubs. Yeah. I enjoyed Baker.
Notice how I didn't let you say your name in the second segment?
I noticed
I wanted
that.
To get right to the introduction.
I know. That's fine.
I wanted to be friends with Baker before you could be.
I know.
That's why I brought up the
I bonded Martin. With him, though.
But I'm from – I told him I was from Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He seemed to like that.
But – I was asking him, you know, point blank, what's your favorite play? And he almost gave it to us. We almost nailed him.
He did not
almost give it to us. We almost got him. We almost got him.
He kind of laughed a little bit.
I got the gotcha, you know.
Are you going to tell us
that? Yeah. That's my old media days. I'm setting you up.
I think every quarterback's favorite play has got to be a successful bomb.
Well, you would think, right?
That's your favorite play outcome.
Yeah.
But maybe quarterbacks have specific plays that really work for them, and that's why they like them.
Well, the part I liked what he said is that it sounds like our new offense is going to be tailored around who we have as players.
Which is how it should be.
But it's not. Because
it's not for the coach.
And, yeah. There are a lot of coaches that this is what we do. And, you know, he made a comment about, he got he was drafted and they wanted him to do other things. But the thing is that I never understood that. You know, you look at tape and you would, and I equate this to like when I first got on radio, you would send them an audition tape. They would listen to it. They would hire you off of that tape. Then you would get there and then they would say, no, we want you to do this way and this way and this way. And I would think, well, why did you hire me? This is what it is.
Maybe you were the closest thing they could find.
I don't know. But he was a good guy. Looking forward to a great competition between him and Kyle Trask. And I like the fact that he's talking about, you know, being a team player and helping no matter how this plays out. So I'm looking forward to the competition.
We didn't ask him about replacing Tom Brady on purpose. Wow.
Knew that question
was coming.
Can we just,
what's a guy going to say?
Listen, Tom Brady got us both a Super Bowl ring. And I say thank you, Tom Brady, because I never
got
to.
It's not Tom's fault.
I say thank you, Tom Brady, because I never got to tell you in person. But now that you're no longer here, we can move on.
Yeah, we can. Yes. Certain people apparently cannot.
All right.
We knew that was going to happen.
I know.
He knew it was going to happen. He was
laughed.
Ready for it.
He thought it was funny.
Great answer. I liked we actually stayed in this room after talking to him a few minutes ago, because he did a phone interview with the radio.
Yeah, Sirius Satellite Radio.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him the Brady question.
Yeah.
And I guess they said maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. He's like, there's no maybe about it.
Yeah.
He is the greatest of all time.
And that's kind of unfair. I mean, come on. You can't.
Somebody has to be next.
Well, that's just it.
It's like, who was the next guy after Peyton Manning?
Right.
Who was it, by the way? Was it Jacoby Brissett?
I don't know. They've had... No, Luck.
No, but there was a bridge year in between.
Oh.
He was hurt for a whole year.
Right.
And somebody else played, and they went like 2-14, which is how they ended up getting Andrew Luck right after Evan
Peyton. I guess, it's a hard go. But anyways, I thought...
There's always going to have to be somebody that follows.
Right.
Somebody's going to have to follow Bill Belichick at some point. And they're going to say, I'm not going to try to be Bill Belichick.
Right.
I'm going to be the best me I can be.
And it sounds like, when you're 21 years old and now he's going to be 27... you're at it. Your outlook is a little bit different, and he also understands a little bit more of the business side of this business. So,
I don't know. The first game of the season, the first season without Peyton Manning, which I think he was still there, but he was on IR because of his neck, was Curtis Painter.
Okay.
Or it was three guys started from that year: Curtis Painter, Dan Orlovsky, and Kerry Collins.
Wow.
I kind of think Curtis Painter was the Week one. See, look at his game logs.
Well, Kerry Collins, he is with Carolina, right?
He
was their savior at one time?
No, they drafted him in their very first year of existence.
Oh, okay. He was their guy.
He was like the fifth overall pick because they got extra picks. Them and Carolina and Jacksonville, that was their, what do they call that, first year?
Right.
Inaugural year? No, for a franchise. Debut season.
Inaugural season. Yeah.
They each got, I think, one extra first-round pick that year, or maybe two or something. But they took Kerry Collins to be their quarterback.
Huh.
And I think he was like fifth overall. And you probably remember he had some issues there. He had some off-the-field issues. But he ended up having a pretty decent career.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask Baker is that, when you're being drafted, you don't get to choose where you're going. But he's being able to choose where he's going right now as a free agent. He has a little bit of veto power or whatever.
Good for him.
But I did like when he said our wide receivers were dogs.
Dogs. He's right. we told him that afterwards.
Yeah, he kind of cocked his head when I said, are we talking about Cleveland here?
Jeff.
Hey, listen, he's on the Salty Dogs. He gets what he gets. That's just the way we roll. All right, let's go to the questions.
Wait.
I got tons to do. I started out today coming in thinking, 1 o'clock, we have a press conference. We're going to get that done. And when I walked in the door, boom, we're doing a Salty Dogs. And sure, we can do one. I don't care. This is good.
Yeah, right. But now you're done. I can tell.
Well,
you've had enough.
I'm thinking of our listeners.
Well,
because
we only have two questions.
Well, here's the thing: is believe it or not, Scott, is we're over like 50 minutes right now, just between you and me.
You remember that TV show?
I do.
What was it? I tell you.
Yeah.
The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on. It wasn't very good.
It wasn't.
It was an idea before its time, though, because nowadays, any superhero twist you can come up with is gold these days. But it was about a guy who somehow got, I think it was an alien kind of thing, somehow got gifted with superhero powers, and he was trying to learn how to use them.
Yeah.
So he'd, like, fly a little bit but crash. It was ahead of its time. You could do that show now.
Sure.
Kind of like Shazam. Or that movie did pretty well, and it was kind of a similar thing.
I wonder if they'll bring back Mork and Mindy.
Did you see the original Shazam movie?
No.
It was actually kind of funny.
I heard it was very funny.
Yeah, the sequel is getting killed.
Yeah.
It just came out. It's getting killed. But in that one, the superhero is like a boy who says Shazam and gets these powers, and he becomes older and has all these powers. And the first part of the movie is with him and his friend, and they're trying to learn what he can do.
Well, that might be an airplane movie then for me.
It was okay. I heard the second one wasn't very good.
Okay.
Okay, the questions.
All right, ready
by
to
the
go.
Way, by the way, the first, the opening day starter was Kerry Collins for Indy the year that
Carolina
after
came
Peyton's last year.
Indianapolis Colts.
Kerry Collins ended up with a pretty long and decent career.
He did.
But he had a little trouble early
he
on.
He did. He struggled.
Questions from the fans. One of them, of course, is from our man in
Brazil. Okay.
Sao Paulo, Brazil. Alexander Nascimento.
Uh-huh.
Ahoy, salty ones. Hope this finds you both well. Does it find you well?
I am.
It has found me, and
knock on wood, yes. Oh, right behind me.
Okay. Congrats to number 20 Barber on his HOF induction.
Yes.
His question is, are we really going to see the Bucks and Creamsicle again this coming season? Is this really real? Anyway, I was wondering, is our record using Creamsicle jerseys? Is that possible to know?
Really, 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 it's happening.
It's really, really real.
It's really, 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 really,
really,
really, really, really, really, really real.
So yes. I assume he means in the throwback jerseys. Because you could count everything from
76 to
97.
Yeah, 96, yeah.
Yep. Right, 96 was Dungy, 97 was uniforms, 98 was
flipped.
Stadium.
Yep.
Okay. I don't think that's what he means.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good. The Bucks record from 76 through 96 was not good.
No.
I'm not going to add it up.
You had maybe three good years out of all that time.
79, 81, and 82.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only winning years in that entire 21. Yep.
17 years game. Between, 15 years between playoffs.
Right.
Go ahead.
So I think he means throwbacks.
Yeah.
We won the first one in 09. That was Josh Freeman's
first game.
First start.
Against Green Bay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Josh had gotten his debut in England the previous game. Came in for fourth quarter. Who was the quarterback? Josh Johnson? I think it was Josh Johnson. Because Byron Leftwich started the season.
Yeah.
Started three games, and they went to Josh Johnson.
And that's when insurance got hurt and our season was over with.
Insurance Graham?
Yeah.
So that was 09. We then lost every other throwback game.
Right.
So 10, 11, 12. Did we play in 13? I feel like we did. Like there were 5 years. So something like 1-4.
I find it fascinating how everyone just loves the orange.
It's such...
And I remember when people would say, you're losing because you're wearing orange.
Everybody's rewriting history.
Yeah,
now.
The creamsicle is the ugliest uniform ever.
Worst uniforms in the NFL.
Are you kidding me? You have to wear that.
There's a reason why the new owners came in, and one of their first orders of business was, new uniforms now.
You know, what were they called?
Chicago.
Yeah, creamsicle. And then Chicago, they were the something pastel pansies.
That's
or
what
something.
They called us?
Yeah, some guy in Chicago when we played the Bears. Remember that. But anyways.
The orange, I'll admit, it does look pretty cool to me now.
It looks cool now.
But it's revisionist history to act like everybody loved it back then because they did not.
No question.
It's nice as a throwback. It 100%
is. It really is.
I wouldn't want to go back to it full time.
No. No.
It does look really cool.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's great to celebrate the full 4+ decade history of the franchise.
Yes,
it's great to celebrate. I 100% love the throwback games. Yep. And yes, Alexander, it's really, really real.
Yep. We just don't know which game.
We don't know which game yet, but that'll be a fun thing to announce during
the game. We're going to have some. There's going to be a lot of fun things on Bucks.com on all the different aspects.
Bet you we don't get five primetime games for the third and fourth year in a row.
I bet we don't either. I was reading an article, Peter King's article, talking about if the Jets get Aaron Rodgers, they will have like five primetime games.
Yeah. 100%.
And they haven't had like a primetime game. You know, they haven't been on Sunday Night Football since like 2011. So it is. It made me smile a little bit because we certainly have had our fair share of primetime games, and nothing like a good old 1 o'clock game, old school football. So
it'll be fun. We have complained a lot about not having as many 1 o'clock games, and we always said, obviously, it's good for the team.
Sure, it is
that we have all these primetime games, but every now and then we'd like a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
We're going to get what we want this year.
Yeah, and we're probably going, God, remember when are you still? But we're going to be good, and we're going to get flexed in the nighttime game, so
it's going to
be
good.
Yeah,
we're going to be good. That's the thing.
We're going to get a great balance.
Exactly.
Okay.
Next question.
So, yes, creamsicles are coming. Keep an eye out because
we love them.
We'll have a lot of previews coming up. There's a lot of stuff in the works right now.
We love the creamsicles, but don't act like you always did.
Yep.
Don't be a poser.
Yep. And I still have some throwbacks. I have a ridge.
I have a nice orange shirt.
Scott, I have a winter coat.
You have like an extra side wing to your closet?
Yes, I have a winter coat.
Orange?
LA logo, I think.
LA Gear?
LA Gear. Oh, I have a starter.
Do you have any Zubaz?
I do.
You still have Zubaz?
I have one pair of those.
Oh.
And so when we do throwback, I'm coming
gotta
in.
Gotta wear the Zubaz.
I'm coming in one day. Listen.
Fans, if you're listening.
Joey is going to be envious when I come in with all of my old school. Joey Nelson. All my old school Buccaneers stuff.
You got to wear the Zubaz. If you're out there listening, you don't know what Zubaz is, look it up. Google it.
Yep.
Google like Zubaz Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now I'm going to have to go look
Chef's
for him.
Kiss.
I've got a really cool old school Buccaneer baseball type shirt. You know, like a jersey, baseball jersey, Buccaneer shirt.
And it's really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
I'll wear that.
Does it sound really cool?
Oh, you're going to be envious.
I'm going to be envious.
Yes, because you're a baseball guy.
I'm a baseball guy.
And you're going to look at that and go,
holy cow, Jeff.
Yes. Where did you get that? You're going to say,
no, the baseball. Did you see what's happened in the WBC, the World Baseball Classic?
Mm-hmm.
You realize that's going on right
yes,
now?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I think the Final Four, the U.S. won yesterday, kicked the crap out of Cuba to make it into the final game against whoever wins between Japan and Mexico.
Okay.
Anyway.
Not surprisingly, it's Japan and Mexico. They love baseball.
Great teams.
Yeah, they love baseball.
Mexico was a bit of an upset over the team that was supposed to be the best, that was considered the best going in, was Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even make the at-out pool play.
Right.
Venezuela was the big upstart team. The U.S. barely got past them on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Trey Turner hit a grand slam. Yes, I'm a baseball guy.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up, New York Mets closer, Edwin Diaz, who was the best reliever in baseball last year, untouchable, incredible, one of the best relief seasons ever. What team was he on? Puerto Rico, I think.
All right.
They win. He's on the mound for the last out. They run out to celebrate with him. And in the midst of the celebration, he completely tears his patellar tendon. He's out for the year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I think it's Jose Altuve, which I think maybe plays for Mexico.
Wow.
He was playing in the Mexico-Puerto Rico game. I think maybe he's playing for Mexico. I can't remember for sure. He got plunked. Actually, I think that might have been against the U.S.
There are a lot of teams did not want their guys to go play.
I could understand now.
Yeah.
He got plunked on and broke his thumb.
Oh, my God.
So he'll miss a good portion of the season. He's like an MVP candidate every year
for
the Astros.
I love how the Salty Dogs go. I'm talking about throwback Buccaneer stuff that I have a baseball jersey.
And all of a sudden I'm telling you everything you need to know about the World Baseball Classic.
That's what makes this podcast so much fun.
Dude, the U.S. lineup is like Mike Trout, Turner, Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt. Both of those
are all there.
It's unbelievably stacked. Anyway, here's the last question then we're
okay.
Because I know you want to get out of here. You're now actually
I gotta actually use the men's room.
You're actually twiddling your thumbs at this point.
I gotta go.
Hey, salty fellas. I've never heard that one before. Just a quick, this is from Kyle, and he put in parentheses, not Trask. So it's not Kyle Trask.
Well,
Kyle from Baltimore.
Hey, Kyle from Baltimore.
It's not Kyle Schwarber either, probably.
I mean, probably not.
Do you know any other famous Kyles?
No. Go ahead.
No, I need to know who the most famous Kyles are. Now that I know you have to go to the bathroom.
Sorry, there's a bottle right there.
Kyles.
We're good to go.
Oh, Jeff. Kyle Busch. The race car driver, Kyle Busch,
yes.
Kyle Lowry, who plays basketball.
All right, fair enough.
Kyle Dean Massey, apparently, who's a Broadway actor. Mm-hmm. Kyle Chandler, a TV actor.
Wasn't there a Kyle that
Kyle Zediker, our team photographer?
Yeah, wasn't there a Kyle on the Carol Burnett show? Was that his last name?
To bring up the Carol Burnett show.
That's a great show. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but how can that possibly come up multiple times on this podcast?
I don't know.
Kyle Broflovsky on the South Park character.
Okay.
That's a pretty famous one.
Famous.
Kyle Petty, another race car driver.
No, yeah. How could you forget Kyle Petty?
Kyle Korver, basketball.
Wow.
The King. Kyle Loesch, baseball. Kyle Orton. Remember Kyle Orton? Mm-hmm. One of the many terrible Bears quarterbacks?
Yes.
Anyway.
One of the many terrible Bears quarterbacks.
I should have just said one of the many Bears quarterbacks because they're all terrible. They've never had a good quarterback since like Sid Luckman.
They got one now. Justin Field.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I hope so.
They're all in on that one.
He ran really well last year. And I think he can be a full all-around quarterback like Jalen Hurts, but he hasn't proven it yet.
No.
But they're definitely going all in with him after that trade from 1 down to 9.
Correct. And they're also putting some
which was the right thing to do.
Nice parts around him. Oh. So, you know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have to get this off my chest. And I've done this pet peeve on this show before, but I have to do it again. How trades with draft picks are reported.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bears trade with the Panthers. The Panthers move up to number one from number 9 to number 1. They give up number 9, get number 1. They get a first rounder next year, a second rounder this year, I think a second rounder next year, and DJ Moore.
DJ Moore is a huge deal.
Yes. The way that 95% of the media reports this is that the Panthers traded to the Bears 2 first round picks and 2 second round picks. No, they did not.
They traded their 1 pick to move up.
Yes.
To move up, and Chicago got moved down. It's the same pick. They just switched positions.
They gave up a first and 2 seconds and DJ Moore to move up 8 spots. They did not trade away two picks to get the first pick.
I know.
Hey, drives me out of my mind. And it never ends. They do it every year.
Because they don't understand.
The cost of moving from 9 to 1 was 1 first, 2 seconds, DJ Moore.
Correct.
Which is great.
Right.
Great job by Ryan Poles.
Right.
The Bears manager. Great job. Love it. Love the trade. Love the trade for the Bears.
I like the fact that DJ Moore is not with the Carolina Panthers
anymore.
Yeah,
although they just signed Adam Thielen, by the way.
Yes, but
They've signed a lot of people.
They're trying. Well, you know, they got a new head coach.
That's true.
So
he wants his guys.
Frank's in there, and he's out to prove something. Good coach. Very good coach.
Everybody's going losing their minds over their coaching staff, though. I think it's a bit much.
You mean on, like, how the big coaches, they are?
Because they got Ejiro Evero, who's we know from
him,
his time here. And since he's considered the hot candidate.
Yep.
But nobody knows yet if he's going to be a great defensive play caller. He hasn't done that yet.
No.
I hope he does because I like the guy.
Sure, and we're in the same situation.
Josh McCown? Okay, we like Josh McCown too, but he's never been a quarterback's coach in the NFL. So
but
what does that prove?
We've got an OC that's never called a play either.
But we're not going around crowing like we've got the best coaching staff of all time.
That's true.
I do like these guys.
I do.
Especially Frank Reich. I think that's a good hire, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we answer Kyle's question maybe?
Yeah. What is the first of all, ask it because you haven't asked it.
I see we signed Baker Mayfield to compete with Kyle Trask. We sure did.
Okay.
And we just talked to him.
Sure did.
For the starting job.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a little different than when we signed Brady.
Yeah.
There was no doubt at all he was coming in that he was coming in as the starter.
I would
think so.
Yeah, that's
Can you imagine telling Tom Brady, you got to come in and compete with Jameis for the job.
I appreciate you going on a limb there, Kyle. Go ahead.
I feel like we haven't – Jeff is now pacing the
room. Well, I have to stand up. My back's bothering me.
I feel like we haven't been in this situation for a while with a real QB competition, if, in fact, that's the case. It is the case.
It is the case.
I have to admit, I wonder if that's true. Okay, whatever.
It's true.
It's a real competition. Now, you can sit there, a fan out there can say, well, I think Baker's going to win it.
Right.
But it's not being given to him. It's really a competition.
Right.
So he says, I have to admit, I wonder if that's true. But anyway, what are some of the most memorable QB competitions in Bucs history? I'm having a hard time thinking of any, to be honest. And I don't blame him. Can you just off the top of your head?
Well, let me think.
There's one that really pops to mind. And it was very contentious.
Is that a Trent Dilfer?
No, he really kind of just
got it because he is a first
He got
pick.
A couple spot starts in his rookie year, and then had the job in 95.
Vinny Testaverde
in his rookie year. No, it was late in his rookie year when he got his first.
Chris
start.
Chandler and Steve DeBerg.
No, Chris Chandler and Vinny Testaverde.
Okay,
they were together on the team for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Chandler was kind of well known for being a prickly dude.
Yep,
and they were not friends.
You know what his nickname used to be?
No,
Chris Chandelier. Because he always got hurt.
Really? Okay. Anyway, they went back and forth, and apparently it was contentious.
And we gave up a first-round draft pick to the Colts to get him.
Yes, but we later got one back for Craig Erickson.
That's true.
Even the books on that
we
one.
We did.
That was a terrible trade for both of those
both
trades
teams.
Were terrible.
That's,
I can't believe they gave us a first for Craig Erickson.
It's the old live and learn, you know? Well, that's when free agency was at its infancy, beginning all the way through.
Still not the most surprising trade, though. I think the most surprising trade we ever got away with was we drafted a tight end in 95 named Harold Bishop from LSU.
I remember him.
Well, I'm surprised because he was only here for 1 year.
Yeah.
He wasn't very good. He was a third-round pick out of LSU. Supposed to be good. Wasn't. After 1 year, we traded him to Cleveland for a second-round pick. How Rich McKay did that, I have no idea. You draft him in the third round. He sucks. Has like two catches. And then you get a second for him?
Because they really needed
it. And it was a high second. You know who we used that pick on?
Who?
Mike Alstott.
Really?
The wow. Mike Alstott pick was courtesy of Rich McKay somehow stealing a two from Cleveland.
Right there. That's the Hall of Fame of all Hall of Fame trades.
That's a fantastic trade that gets lost. In when you think of big bucks trades, you're not going to think of that one.
No,
you're
going to
think
all.
Of like trading for the ill-advised trading for Jack Thompson, the throwing Samoan.
Yeah, I remember that.
Kept us out of the famous 83 quarterback draft. But Vinny and Chris Chandler are probably the most – high profile, the most back and forth competition. But go backwards. I mean, Tom Brady the last 3 years, Jameis the five before that, which really, I know Fitz got some starts, and there was, but it was mostly, he started that 1 year because Jameis was on a suspension.
Yes.
But there really wasn't a competition before that.
No, there was not.
So 5 years with Jameis. Before that, it was Mike Glennon, right? Or 1 year with Josh McCown. There was
Josh
no competition
McCown,
there. We brought him in
Mike
to be the
Glennon.
Starter.
Had Josh Freeman.
Maybe Mike Glennon and Josh Freeman in,
a little bit.
In Josh's last year because obviously right from the beginning,
Greg Schiano
did not like Freeman, and he replaced him with Glennon a couple weeks in. But I don't know
but
if that
good
was
for Mike Glennon because he got $15 million from the Bears and falls into the quarterback category there.
So. He's
still
in
around.
Yeah.
He's still in the
good
league.
For him.
Good
we
for
like him.
Yeah, Mike was a good guy.
Glad he's getting that career backup money.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one time he got the big deal from the Bears. Good for him.
Very nice guy.
But I don't think it was a competition before the year.
Yeah.
So then it was Freeman from like 09 to 12.
Right.
2008. Who was it in 2008?
Well.
Jeff Garcia?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
7-8.
And even with Brad Johnson, was it really a competition? Did Brad's arm?
Fell out.
Well, Brad said that sitting out that half a year extended his career because he was able to rest up his arm and got healthy.
So Brad Johnson, Sean King, as a rookie, had to come in at the end. Everybody knows that because Trent and
hurt himself
Eric
Zier, in Sarasota. Yeah, or in Sarasota, in Seattle.
He did.
Separated his shoulder.
And he had a nice little run at the end and helped us get to the NFC Championship game. So that won him the job in 2000, but he wasn't up for it.
Nope.
And so they brought in Brad Johnson. There was no competition there.
No. Nope.
Brad lost his job in, 04?
Something like that.
Because he had arm trouble.
He did.
But it wasn't competition. I mean, Chris Sims was there.
Yeah.
And he was a rookie in 04.
And if you look at the time John Gruden was with us, we had a lot of quarterbacks.
He liked
quarterbacks.
A lot of quarterbacks, but he generally knew who was the starter going in.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a Brian Greasy, Chris Sims.
I remember that. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I think Chris Sims started, but then his spleen blew up, and then it was Greasy for a while. Then Greasy tore up his knee,
and then it was
Sims came back in when he was healthy again. But as for like a training camp competition,
no. There has not been one
when
like
was
this.
One?
No, there wasn't.
It's a great question, Kyle. It really is.
I mean, even in 76, I think Steve Spurrier had the job right away.
I'm going to have to steal this question for the written mail.
That's actually a really good, if you go back and look, they're really,
Did when Doug Williams was drafted in 78, did he went right into the starting job?
He was the guy. Yeah.
I don't think he had competition.
No, he was the guy.
Maybe Steve DeBerg, Steve Young? In 85 or 86, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, Steve DeBerg was, Steve DeBerg was with us a couple of times.
I'm going to have to ask somebody, though, because it's not like there's going to be I'm not going to be able to find stories from 85 and 86.
Yeah. No, I have to think about that. I don't.
Maybe the
Wikipedia Steve Young played a lot, but he was running around. Had Steve Young stayed with the Buccaneers, his career would have been over.
Sure.
Because he was.
Instead, he's
and
in
that
the
was before
fame.
That was before there were running quarterbacks.
Right.
That was when a quarterback was not supposed
Except
to
Fran
run.
Except for Fran Tarkenton. Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, well, Fran, he is just crazy,
okay. Yeah. So
you need to do something like that.
I'll put it in the mailbag so I can really look at every year.
All right.
But I, in general, there have not been a lot of Buck open quarterback competitions.
No.
And really, you don't want that.
No, but we have one. And so if anyone thinks that someone's getting handed the job, it's not happening.
It's totally fine for a person out there to be thinking, oh, come on, Baker's going to win that job. Kyle's thrown 9 passes, but it's a real competition.
If you really thought that, then why wouldn't you put a guy underneath a multi-year deal? He's coming in on a 1-year
deal. Good point.
He's on a 1-year deal.
At least have an option year, right?
And the thing for him, for Baker Mayfield coming in, he wants to prove that he is a starting quarterback. And, kind of like a – I think everybody's going to, because it's so fresh in everybody's mind, equate it to Geno Smith going to Seattle.
Fair.
And
well,
on a one-year deal.
He was already
yeah,
there.
Well, but on a one-year, because he was still, his last year, was it? Or did they sign him to a one-year deal and then he made it happen?
He was already there under
yeah,
contract.
Yeah, but was he on
but
the contract?
When they traded Wilson, when they traded Russell Wilson to Denver, they also got Drew Lock
right
back in the deal. So it was considered
somewhat,
it was going
yeah.
to be a quarterback competition between the two, and he won it.
Right. Because there you go.
Oh, so, but I could see the comparison. A guy that
yeah
used to be a starter.
Right,
but,
he's in his last year of his contract but, anyways because they had to redo the deal.
But Geno Smith had been, that's true, they had to give him a new deal this year, and he got one.
Right.
But Geno Smith hadn't been a starter for like 7 years.
Yeah, right. Oh, I know.
I mean,
but
Baker
he
was Cleveland kept, starter two
yeah.
years ago, and he was the
right.
opening day starter for
yes.
Carolina last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to find a lot. I think the biggest one probably that made the most headlines was Vinny and Chris Chandler.
Yeah, I think that would be it.
For a couple of years.
That was under Sam, wasn't it?
Maybe this DeBerg and Testaverde both started in 92, and then in 93 we drafted Craig Erickson.
Okay.
So maybe there was a little battle there between yeah. DeBerg and Craig Erickson, because
yeah.
Vinny was gone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
I mean, the 80s were a wasteland anyway.
Yeah.
Who was starting in the beginning of 87 when we drafted?
Well, who was starting before that?
Because Vinny didn't start till like a game in New Orleans in December that year.
Was DeBerg still with us up until then, or did he? Was he with? Was he? With,
oh no, he was gone after 93.
He was with Denver.
We drafted Trent in 94.
No. I'm talking in the 80s.
Oh
he,
yeah, we had him in 85 and 86.
Okay, and so then 87, it was Vinny, and Vinny got the
maybe
got
he was
the job.
Still here in 87.
I think, or he was. That was his 86. He was here. I'm trying to remember.
Well, you know what? I happen to have the Bucs media guide open.
You do.
And they have year-by-year. In their year-by-year scores, they have the starting quarterback for every game.
All right.
Pretty handy, huh?
Yeah, very. What a concept.
It was DeBerg. Steve DeBerg started. Okay. Two other guys started, and you can't name them. 1987, Steve DeBerg started the first two games. Who started? Two other guys started.
In 1987?
You can't name them. You cannot.
It a guy from Cleveland?
Nope.
All right, who?
Here's the hint. It was the three replacement games.
Oh. Sean Payton.
Not for us.
He was a scab.
Yeah, not for us.
I say that not being nasty. That's what they were
that's
called.
They
if
were
you
called.
Crossed the line.
That's what
know.
Anybody that crosses yeah. the picket line is called.
Yeah.
John Reeves.
Oh, okay. Yes. He was a big Gator quarterback.
Yeah,
I remember
and doesn't
right.
he have like, didn't he end up having car dealerships around here?
I don't think that's.
That's
I'm
not
sure if that's the same Reeves. I'm not the same. I think he was in real estate.
And then former Seattle quarterback and future Washington, they were called the Redskins back then. Future Washington quarterback Jim Zorn. I mean, not quarterback, head coach.
Jim Zorn
Jim
was with
Zorn.
Was
started
with us.
The third.
He started with Seattle.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
All right. I could keep going on.
Yeah.
Other tables,
but anyways,
you need to go. You need to get out of here. But it was. It was Steve DeBerg in 87.
Okay. Good stuff. Wow, this is really an off-season.
Didn't know we were going to be talking about Steve DeBerg today,
No, I listen, there are so many things I didn't know we were talking about. This is what makes the Salty Dog so much fun. We just go with it. You got anything else?
I'm done.
All right. Let's see. What do we got coming up? Really not a whole lot. Maybe if Levante comes in.
More free agency?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might have a Zoom call or
yeah,
or
make do something with
press
him.
Conference with Levante.
Yeah. All right.
And the draft is about a month away.
Sure.
A little over a month away.
Maybe we'll do something for the draft.
Brianna's mock draft will drop today as you're listening to this, if you're listening on Tuesday. My next one will be next week.
Okay.
And I'm going to do something tricky with it.
All right.
Every team has to, we've done six mock drafts already.
All right.
Every team has to pick a player that we have not yet given them.
Oh, okay.
In any of those six mock drafts.
Oh, that's
so it's going to force
good.
Me to think outside the box a little bit.
I like it.
I've already made the picks, and I may have to change it, but Indy at four. Indy at four, we've already mocked them all four of the top four quarterbacks at one point or another. So I'm going to have to give them a non-quarterback.
Well, it'll be fun to find out what it will be.
Thank you.
All right. And since you did, thanks for listening.